We've been going through the last couple of weeks about will you also go away? And seeing, especially in the time we live, it's going to come down to it, and we're going to see if people will come back or they're going to go away. And we started out and we saw, as Jesus spoke, there were two people that emerged from this, and that was the offended and the edified. And first there was those that were offended. They went away, never came back. And then there were the edified, and they said, "Where shall we go? Where shall we go?" John chapter 6, verse number 66. By the way, the one portion there in Scripture, 666, and notice what it says. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Interesting, isn't that? Verse 67, they said unto Jesus, and then said Jesus unto them, the 12, "Will you also go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." I want to concentrate on that this evening. We looked at last week, as Peter mentioned the first thing, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." We saw and looked at how that the attack upon the very word of God, and the attack upon what we hold near and dear, so precious to us, in the words, plural, of the eternal God. And so tonight he says, then secondly, "We believe and are sure thou art the Christ." You know that a lot of people believe he's the Christ, but aren't sure of it. They struggle with that. And do you see that? "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ." Now, as we begin, I am sure you may know this, but the famous author C.S. Lewis, he wrote in one of his scripts once, and he said this, and he calls it the trilemma. And he said, Jesus was either a lunatic, he was crazy, or he was a liar, or he truly was Lord. And as we think about that, many people today struggle with that. The naysayers will say, well, he was just crazy. He was out of his mind. You know, there's a lot of people, we're going to look at that in a minute. Also, others say, well, he was just a liar. He lied about who he was. You and I, though, tonight believe he was capital L-O-R-D, Lord and God. Now, it's a trilemma for many people. What you believe about Christ determines your eternal destiny. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? So understanding this, as we see, we're going to look at and understand, hopefully, what it means as Peter says, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ." Now, later, as you understand, Peter struggles with this, and he says at that campfire there, warming himself by the fire, the trial of Jesus, and what's he say? "Oh, you were with him." And Peter says, "No, not me. I don't know him." He denies the person of Christ. Now, we all can struggle with that from time to time, but we're going to see here in a minute, as you know your Bible and stay close to Christ, you will not struggle. You will find great strength in that. So, seeing here, first of all, there is what's called the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, right? John 14, verse 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I heard a story of a lady sitting on a plane one time next to a pastor, and he began to share with her, you know, the gospel, and began to tell her about all that he did and the wonderful truth. And she said, stop right there. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. He said, "Well, ma'am, if you just give me a minute, I can explain it to you." "No, this and that." She said, no. She says, I struggle with this. She said, "What gives Jesus Christ the right to be exclusive, the only way? What gives him the right?" And that pastor, in his humility and grace with her, he replied with this. He said, "He's the only person in human history who said he would die and rise again and do it, and do it." That's the truth. That's the truth. We believe that. We know that. He was who he said he was. Exclusive. And for him to make that statement, we know we can today live. I found this interesting, the uniqueness of his trial as he was stood there before Pontius Pilate and they hurled accusations at him. The uniqueness of his trial, it was not a trial about his actions, but about his identity, right? I don't think anyone has ever, well, probably many people have, been on trial for their identity. You're saying you're somebody who maybe you're not. It's usually for what they did, right? You maybe committed a crime, you murdered, you stole, you theft, whatever it was that you did. For him, it was his identity. "Who are you?" Pilate says. Jesus said, "I've already told you." And you didn't hear it. "I've already told you." Now, a couple things here, let me say very quickly. First of all, there's doubt in the world around us about who Jesus Christ is. There's doubt. Matthew 11 and verse 2, it says, and let me get over there because I only have a portion of the scripture before I fumble it up. Matthew 11, verse number 2, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Notice verse 3, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? This is John the Baptist. John, the great man of God that came, and he, remember, as he saw Jesus walking along the seaside, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. This is the God. This is the Messiah. Are you the Christ? John says, no. I'm in fact not even worthy to bow down and unlatch his shoe or sandal. Now John has doubt in his mind, in his heart. He says, can you go and ask him, is he the Messiah? Is he the one that should come, or do we look for another? We know that people in certain circumstances and situations, children of God, saved people can have doubt. They get doubt. And what's Jesus say? He says in verse 4, Jesus answered, said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. This is prophetic. He says, go tell them what I've been doing. Show them. And the scripture doesn't say, but we know that they went back and told John all that took place. And John said, yep, that's him. That's him. That's the Christ. And as John's head laid there on the chopping block, he didn't doubt. He didn't cry out. He didn't say, oh, I'm sorry for what I preached. I was wrong. No, what did he do? He gladly, as Paul did, he gladly suffered martyrdom. So we see there's doubt. There's doubt about the Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23 says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Again, there's another trilemma there. Many people, he's a stumbling block, meaning Jesus. They don't get to do what they want to do because of Jesus. They don't get to live the life they want to live because of Jesus, right? Problems. And other people, we see here, it's foolishness. It's foolish. It's utter foolishness. It's utter stupidity. It's ridiculous that we would meet here tonight, right? Why would we do that? It's foolish. And then he says, thirdly, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. So understanding there's doubt around us. John 12, 34, the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou? The Son of Man must be lifted up. Who is this Son of Man? Again, not understanding the scriptures. They said the Son of Man or the Messiah is supposed to live forever. Well, they didn't follow through in the book of Isaiah that he would be what? Crucified. He would be lifted up. He'd give his life. And they say, if you say you're going to be lifted up and crucified, you cannot be the Messiah. Who is this Son of Man? John 10, 24. Then came the Jews round about him, said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Christ says, I have, and I will, and I did. But he says, you cannot hear that because, what? You're of your father, the devil. You're of your father. I speak those things that my father gave me, he said. You speak the things your father gave me. I mean, that's an insult. That's a cut to the heart. Jesus Christ did not mince words. He said plainly, he is the Christ. Now, just coming back to you, there's doubt out there today. You may have encountered somebody in your life that doubts, that says he's not real, that he's not accurate, that he never truly lived. Many people across history said Christ was not even a real person, which is foolishness. You do any elementary type research on Jesus Christ, the person, you're going to find very clearly he was real. He was real. Luke 23, 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Save thyself and us. Save yourself. Save us too, if you truly be the Christ. By the way, there's two types of people. The one guy on this side railed on Christ, mocked him. The other guy on this side said, basically, take me with you. He said, today thou will be with me in paradise. The doubter and the definite. Luke 23, 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Again, these are doubters. Doubters all around us. Let me say number two, there's the deception. The deception. Now notice this, Matthew 24, 5, Jesus makes clear and says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am what? Christ, and shall deceive many. I am Christ. Matthew 24, he continues to verse 23. Then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there's Christ, he's the Messiah, he says, believe it not. You know, there's a lot of deception out there today. Deceivers, antichrists, if you will. If he says, anyone comes and says, I'm Christ, what? He's a deceiver. Now, listen to some of these that I found. Very interesting. Just a quick Google search, and I found very fascinating. There's been 36 public claims. This is public, not to mention all the private wackos out there that lead cults, okay? These are the public claims in the 18th and 19th century. 36 public claims of people saying they are Jesus Christ incarnate. They are the heretics, apostates, filthy fools. 36. Now, let me read you some of these. These are just in the 20th and 21st century claims of messiahship. Okay. Ridiculous. Deceivers. Apollo Qui Boloy is the founder and leader of the Philippines-based Restorationist Church, the Kingdom of Jesus Christ, the name above every name incorporated. Now, that's a long church name. We think we got a long church name. Listen to the name above every name incorporated. He's made claims that he is the appointed, quote-unquote, Son of God. That's blasphemy, okay? Appointed Son of God. This is just recently, in the last 20 years or so, okay? Listen to this. Hassan Mazarsi, former politician, member of the Parliament of the Republic of Turkey, okay? He was expelled from the Welfare Party, imprisoned for his extreme views on secularism. He claims to be a prophet, the Messiah, and Jesus after his imprisonment and release. I am Jesus. He's a heretic. He is a fool. Alan John Miller, listen to this guy, born in 1962, just recently, more commonly known as A.J. Miller, a former Jehovah Witness elder. By the way, they don't even believe in Jesus Christ. What a ding-dong. And current leader of the Australian-based Divine Truth Movement. Miller claims to be Jesus Christ reincarnated with others in the 20th century to spread messages that he calls the divine truth. He delivers these messages in seminars and various forms of media along with his current partner, Mary Susan Luck, nice name, who identifies herself as the returned Mary Magdalene. By the way, if you've had anything to do with the current news in the last about 15 years, there's been a couple books and movies put out that Jesus had a relationship with Mary Magdalene when he was on earth. That's blasphemous. Blasphemous. It's filthy. And this ding-dong comes out, pardon me for name-calling, but he is, and a Jehovah's Witness elder, you know. Listen to this guy, David Shaler, born in 1965, proclaimed himself in the summer of 2007 to be the Messiah. The Messiah. He's released several videos on YouTube claiming to be Jesus, although he's not built up any noticeable following. I like that. Maurice Clemens, an American felon responsible for the 2009 murder of four police officers in Washington State, referred to himself in May of 2009 as Jesus Christ. Oscar Ramiro Ortega Hernandez, in November 2011, he fired shots at the White House, believing himself to be Jesus Christ, sent to kill U.S. President Barack Obama, whom he believed to be the Antichrist. Now, this is just in the last 15, 20 years, these people. And these are just the known public people, not to mention the weirdos out there all across America and even Australia, especially, there's a ton of them, that claim to be Jesus Christ. And if anybody comes to you and says, I'm Christ, you know, very kindly ask him to leave. Get away from me. You're son of Satan. You're of Satan. Not to mention the man like David Koresh. David Koresh out there in Waco, Texas. Remember him? He started out actually pretty fundamental, but he stood up one day and he said, God has told me that number one, I'm the Messiah. Number two, that I'm to have your daughters and your wives. Right there, I would have stood up and punched the guy in the snot box. You know, these ding-dongs sat there. Okay, I guess so. If that's what the Lord said. You know why? Because this book was closed. None of them had the Bible. None of them. You think about these guys. They're crazy. There's a guy out in Ukraine, you can look him up on YouTube. In Ukraine, he's got long hair and he wears a white robe, you know, and I don't know what he does, but he's Jesus Christ, okay? Claims to be, he's got like thousands of people following him. Jim Jones, you remember, drank the Kool-Aid. You know, we kept joking about having Kool-Aid Sunday, but that probably not be a good advertisement. People wouldn't come. These cult leaders, they're crazy. They're crazy. And it comes simply back to, if any person claims to be Christ, get away from them. Get away from them. That's why John says later in his three epistles, he says, if anybody comes to you and preaches or teaches anything outside of this, have nothing to do with them, neither bid them Godspeed. And people say, oh, that's a little harsh. You can't even say have a nice day or God bless you. No, because they're Antichrist. They're Antichrist. That's what John says. And you dear folks know this, but just it really irritates me, bothers me that these people, and it ought to bother you as well, the deception that is out there today. And dear people that are so duped into these things because they don't know the Bible. They don't go to a church. They go to a church that's fluffy. Come as you are, leave as you were. We don't care what you read. We don't care what you watch. We don't care what Bible you use. No, that's why they're deceived. Now, let me say, there's also something interesting in Scripture. The demonic people, the demons, you know, they're more fundamental than we are. Did you know they believe in Christ more than many Christians do? You know that. Luke 4:41, and the devils also came out of many crying out, saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Did you notice that? He's in control of those guys. He said, basically, hush up, be quiet. They came out, Thou art the Christ, we know who you are. Remember the demon at Gadara there? He's in the tombs cutting himself, and he saw Jesus. All he had to do was see Jesus, came running and fell on his knees and said, Oh, Thou art the Christ. You know, don't torment me. Don't hurt me. And he cast out those two legions of demons out into the swine and all of that. But we think about this. Let me say, I'll skip some of that there. There's a definition, though, if you will. The definitive Christ. Jesus fulfilled every prophecy concerning the Messiah. Every single one of them. I have here many pages. These are just the prophecies concerning his all that he fulfilled. Born of a woman, fulfilled. Born of a virgin, fulfilled. Son of God, seed of Abraham, son of Isaac, tribe of Judah, family line of Jesse, house of David, born of Bethlehem, presented with gifts. Herod kills the fulfilled all of them. All of them. He shall be called Lord, shall be called Emmanuel, shall be called a prophet, priest, judge, king, preceded by a messenger, Isaiah 40, fulfilled, Matthew 3. His ministry began in Galilee, his miracles, teachings, enters the temple, enter on a donkey, stone of stumbling to the Jews, light to the Gentiles. Go on and on. I have so many here. Betrayed by a friend, sold. Listen, folks, some guy who's just a liar or who's crazy could never fulfill every one of these to a T. Never. Accused by the witnesses, forsaken by the disciples, silent before his accusers, wounded and bruised, smitten and spit upon, fulfilled all of it. Mocked, fell under the cross, hands and feet were pierced, crucified with the thieves. Oh, there's so many, I won't keep going. Bones won't be broken. Others will be heartbroken. His side pierced, darkness over the land, buried in a rich man's tomb. Isaiah 53:9, fulfilled Matthew 27. And I'll let you look at this if you want to, but you folks know all of these already. It's just no-brainer. There's a definition. We serve the risen Savior. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee and the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's Jesus in his high priestly prayer. John 20:31. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you might have life through his name. His name. There's a definition. Oh, so many verses, obviously, we could use. Let me say here, by way of my last point, there's a declaration. A declaration of who he is. Not only by Christ himself, but by those throughout history. By the way, you would never give your life literally as a martyr if you thought he was a liar. Every disciple, every apostle, they gave their life, didn't they? Some were hung, some were tortured, some were pulled apart, some were things we can't talk about, others were heads chopped off, other things just torturous. And none of them recanted, by the way. And the people said, if you just recant, we'll let you go. We won't do it. Why? Because we know who Jesus is. Acts 17, verse 3, listen to this opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, one, and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Declaration by Paul. Acts 18, 28, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And by the way, that's the only way we're going to show people that Jesus is the Christ. It's through the scriptures. Through the scriptures. Well, let's see some kind of miracle. No, we don't believe in that. Why? Because the revelation has been closed, and we have all that we need. We have all that we need. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Matthew 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear Christ. You remember on that Mount of Transfiguration? They came, and Father, voice from heaven, thundered, said, hear him. I'm pleased in him. He's my beloved Son. He's the Messiah. Matthew 5:17, think not I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I come not to destroy, but to fulfill. By the way, to the T. To the T, fulfilling. John 4:26, he said to the woman at the well, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm him. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we understand tonight that there is and was and still is a Christ. He is the Christ. And as Peter proclaims this, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Son of the living God. And so we see here that we're here tonight because of that Christ. We're here tonight because we worship and praise him and love him and want to adore him and want to serve him with our lives and want to exalt him truly in our lives, if you will. I found a great quote here today I wanted to read to you. And it says, he, Jesus, was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was about 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a home. He didn't go to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his garments, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life that did. Isn't that true? Man, never had anything special. It wasn't anything that we would think of as great. The world thinks greatness. Oh, he had this great following. He had these great credentials. No. And it proves today that thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'll wrap it up there. But thinking about why stay? Why stay? One, we have the words. Two, though, thou art the Christ. Where else will we go? Peter says, where else will we go? Sadly, Peter went away, but Jesus came to him. And if you're a child of God and you leave Christ, he'll come to you and there'll be conviction and there'll be help and he'll come and his grace and mercy come back. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Because you said I'm the Christ. You said you believe that. Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that. He says three times, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And we know Peter went on, you know, to be literally spreading the gospel. Book of Acts 1:2, especially in the beginning, spreading the gospel throughout the world. And he was imprisoned and ultimately he was crucified upside down. For his Savior, for his Lord. Thou art the Christ. Do you believe that tonight? I know you do. And I hope that that's a blessing to you to think about. Hey, why stay? It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. We're not going to be popular. We're going to face persecution and criticism for following Christ, for believing these are the words. But why stay? Because he's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. All right. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll close out this evening. Lord, thank you again for your grace. Thank you for these folks that have been so faithful and so patient, Lord, and we've already in our last about year and a half, Lord, been through some ups and downs, and just to see that, Lord, we have adversity, and that's a good thing, and Lord, you've blessed us so richly, but Father, we gather tonight because we believe we have the words of eternal life. We also believe and are sure, as Peter said, that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We ask that you strengthen us and help us in the days ahead. Give us the strength to be who we're supposed to be, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray all of this. And amen. Amen. Thank you.